Hello, everybody. My name is Justice Waters from the Free State of Indiana. Today's date is January 19, 2025. This is a judicial call for the Republic for the United States of America. We're coming into some pretty interesting times. I'm going to answer about 35 questions tonight that I've received. And before we get going, Mark, would you open us up in prayer, please?
Yes, sir. I'd be honored. Thank you. Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, thank you for watching over us as an eagle watches over her young and protects her from danger. Thank you for the many blessings that you give us, both seen and unseen, that allow us to take ground back from our adversaries. In the name of Yeshua, help us to unite together with one mind and one heart to save humanity along with our beloved Republic. So, Father, strengthen us in mind, body, and spirit to win the battles over dark powers and principalities in the spirit world with our gospel armor on and the piercing light of truth emanating from our spiritual sword, that is the Word of God. For you are God and there is no other. Be with us, each and every one of us, to guide us and help us to stay on the straight and narrow path of victory, not deviating to the right or the left. So give us supernatural understanding and quick reflexes as the attacks build to crescendo just before victory. As your word states in Revelation 22, verse 11, quote, "And when the time comes, all doing wrong will do it more and more. The vile will become more vile. Good men will be better. Those who are holy will continue in greater holiness," end quote. So, Father, cover our nation, our military, our prophets, our true presidents, and our true republic with the dome protection of Psalms 91 that makes it impenetrable by the enemy for ourselves, our family, and our friends. Give your appointed leaders wisdom and understanding by your grace and mercy, Father, and release those J6 prisoners and all those that are incarcerated for not harming anyone, Heavenly Father. So God save the Republic, God save the children, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, thank you, Father. Be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mark, people can unmute themselves, right?
I believe so. We can give it a try here. If not, I can find them and unmute them.
Well, Michael, if you can unmute yourself, can you do that? Can you find him there, Mark?
You got an area code by chance?
No, I don't.
I'll look for him.
I don't have an area code for any of these tonight.
Okay.
Does he know to press star 6 to unmute as well?
I don't know, but that's good. Thank you for saying that.
Okay.
I see a lot of states, cities. I see a lot of Iowa wireless callers, but I don't see his name, sir.
Okay. How about Roger Franklin?
All right. Yep, I got him. Here we go. He's unmuted now.
Okay. Roger, you there?
Yes, I'm present.
Okay. We'll go ahead and get you under oath here. I need to ask, you want to use the word swear or affirm?
What was the word, and affirm?
Yes, swear or affirm.
Swear or affirm. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, which one you want to use?
I affirm.
Okay. So I'll say I, you say I, your name, and we'll go on, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. I.
Roger Ray Franklin.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemy, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance.
I will bear true faith and allegiance.
To the same.
To the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
For purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
Of which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Welcome. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay. Brian, is it what? Do you see him, Mark?
Let me check just a little bit here. I don't see Brian Witt. No, sir, I don't.
Okay. Well, Brian, if you can punch star six, that should unmute you. Yeah, we have a lot of wireless. Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I don't know who it's. Yeah, you. Brian?
Yeah, this Hello. Is Michael.
Okay, is Brian on?
Is Brian's here if you can hear me.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Well, go ahead and get your oath done. Same question. I need to know, do you want to use the word swear or affirm?
Swear is fine.
Okay. So I'll say I, you say I, your name, we'll go on. Here we go.
Okay.
I,
Kenneth Brian Witt.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
on which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, this is Michael here.
Oh, okay, good. Okay. Same question to you, sir. You want to use swear or affirm?
I'll use swear.
Okay. I'll say aye, you say your first name, and we'll go on.
I, Michael Oyola,
do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge
the duties of the office.
The duties of the office
on which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations, sir. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you.
Okay, Mark, we got one more here. Jonathan Gould.
I don't see him by name. I've already looked for him, sir. He's got to unmute himself, I guess.
So, Jonathan, if you can do star six, you should unmute yourself. I hear dogs. Is that you,
this
Jonathan?
This is Kevin. Can you hear me?
Jonathan Kevin. Gould here.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hang on, Kevin. Okay, Jonathan. Same
yes,
question
sir.
To you. You want to use swear or affirm?
Swear.
Okay. I'll say aye, you say your name, we'll go on, okay?
Affirmative.
Aye.
Jonathan Richard Gould.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you, Justice Waters. It's a privilege.
You're welcome. Okay, Kevin?
Yes, sir. This is Kevin Gankin with Yolo County, California Interim Justice.
Okay. You got your appointment letter, right?
I got my letter. That's all I received. I had a hard time figuring out this mute button.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, as long as you got it from President Geiger, you're good to go.
Okay, very good, okay. Sir. Thank you.
Same question. You want to use swear or affirm?
Swear.
Okay. I'll say aye. You state your name. We'll go on. Here we go. Aye.
Aye. Kevin Roman Gankin.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well
and faithfully discharge.
And faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. Okay. Wow. Guys, we swore five in tonight. Yes.
Justice Waters, this is James Treat, Oklahoma, Justice. I received my letter from President Geiger on the 17th. You know, I thought it was my understanding I was supposed to be sworn on this call.
Okay. Well, we'll make it safe. You want to use the word swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay. I'll say aye. You say aye. We'll go on. Is that you with the background noise?
No, sir.
Okay. Aye.
Aye. James Martin Treat.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies.
Foreign and domestic.
Foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith.
That I will bear true faith.
And allegiance to the same.
And allegiance to the same.
That I take this obligation freely.
That I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
For purpose of evasion.
For purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
Of which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Hello, Justice Watson.
Say again.
Hello, Justice Watson. Hello, Justice Watson.
Yes. Yeah.
This is Lita Vincent L. of the state of Maryland. I also received my letter from President Geiger on Thursday, which is the 16th, and if possible, I would like to be sworn in tonight also.
Okay.
Okay.
So, same question, you want swear or affirm?
Affirm.
Okay, so I'll say aye, you say your name, we'll go on, okay?
Okay.
Aye.
Lita Marie Vincent L.
Do solemnly affirm.
Do solemnly affirm.
That I will support and defend.
That I will support and defend.
The Constitution for the United States.
The Constitution for the United States.
Against all enemies.
Against all enemies,
foreign and domestic,
foreign and domestic,
that I will bear true faith,
that I will bear true faith,
and allegiance to the same,
and allegiance to the same,
that I take this obligation freely,
that I take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion.
Or purpose of evasion.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
And that I will well and faithfully discharge.
The duties of the office.
The duties of the office.
On which I am about to enter.
On which I am about to enter.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Welcome to the Republic.
Thank you, Justice Waters.
You're welcome. Okay, anybody else? Okay. Well, Mark, we had quite a few, huh?
Yes, sir. I count seven.
Yes. That's good. That puts us over, I believe it's 112. Justices across the country.
Fantastic.
So we're booking right along. Okay, guys, listen. What I have for you tonight is a little bit different. It comes in the form of two questions that I've been asked most often over the last 6 months. And that is, who are we and why now? So after contemplating this, and I, as you've heard me say before, over the last 10, 12 years, we've had people who have done their best to destroy this republic by taking God out of the equation. Oh, we're a government. You can't talk about God like that, citing the phrase, "No religious test shall be given." Well, when you are running for an office, nobody can ask you, are you a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian? They can't ask you that. That's what the founders considered the religious test. But once you are elected and you're brought into office, the game changes. Now you have to be a believer in Jesus Christ, because we cannot have a government run by the people who hate God. God cannot bless us as such. So the founders wanted to make sure that it was very clear. We will not test you on religious beliefs when you're running for an office, but once you're there, you got to believe. Things might get ugly if you don't, especially back in their days. Now, in today's culture, in today's society in America, we're going to run into an awful lot of people who will tell you, "I don't care. No, I hate him," whatever. And that's fine. I don't have to stand in their judgment shoes. They don't have to stand in mine. But as a government who is going to purposely further the kingdom of God, I do believe that having his law form requires us to know something about him. And the purpose of us, who we are, and why now. So, what I have tonight is more biblical, because we do follow biblical law. And in order to study biblical law, wow, that actually takes you into the Bible. You can't get away from it. Our law form is biblical, and we as judges, we operate 24 hours a day under biblical law. Now, for our purposes, what is biblical law? On that side of it, biblical law is the Ten Commandments. It is also what God spoke directly to people, like Moses, like Noah, even Enoch. And we need to know what that law is. Did you know that in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, there are over 200 laws that God gave his people? Now, for instance, the sex sins in Leviticus 18 through 19. There are many, many different types of sex sins, but it's all sex sin. So that would equate to one. The Ten Commandments, there are 10 of them, but it's still his commandments. That equates to one. There is approximately, that I have found out over the last 14 years, over 170 biblical law forms of God's law that we institute in the Republic. We judges are supposed to know that. But then we come to the question of why now? And this is what I'm going to talk about tonight. I want you to get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil or something, because I want you to write some stuff down. I'll give you a few minutes before I get started to get that. Now, if you want the notes that I'm talking from, email me over the next couple days and I'll send them to you. I didn't actually have this written out until today, so too late to send it to everybody. Okay, Daniel 12, verse 11 says, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Speaking of that, once that event takes place, and that's where a person goes upon the Temple Mount in Jerusalem and proclaims himself to the world as being God the Creator, mocking God, when that day happens, there will only be 1,290 days left before the Messiah returns to the Mount of Olives. Now, we have Revelation chapter 11 that talks about the two witnesses. I'm not going to read everything in there. I'm just going to kind of appoint a few things here that are important to what we're talking about tonight. Revelation 11:3 says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days or 60 days. So Daniel says 1,290 days. Revelation says 1,260 days. There's only a 30-day separation between these two. And then it says, "And they of the people of kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in the grave. They torment the beast and the false prophet for 42 months, and then they're killed." And so to throw a big party worldwide because of the plagues, which are the trumpets and the bowls, they just leave them lying in the street. You watch them on CNN or Fox News. They'll cover it day in, day out. Lying in the street where they were killed. And then it says, verse 10, "And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelled upon the earth." Verse 11. "And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them." So, they have 1,260 days plus 3.5 days, makes it 1,263.5 days they are here on the earth. Remember that. Now, Revelation 13:1 says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority." Wow. verse 2 there, the three animals that are mentioned, leopard, bear, and lion, are the same three animals of the four that Daniel speaks of in Daniel chapter 7. When John wrote this, he didn't want anybody to get confused. So what John saw, Daniel saw, and he wanted to make sure the same animals were used, not to confuse people. Verse 3 says, "And I saw one of his heads as if it was wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And the world wondered after the beast." Now, I'm going to interject something here. When I was a teenager growing up, and we hear this kind of stuff in church, and they made some movies about it, some Christian groups did, and this beast was one man, and he was it. There wasn't anybody else, just him. And he had the 666 written across his forehead, and he was running around telling these armies what to do and all this and that. That is not what this is saying. Why? Because this beast has seven heads and 10 horns, and crowns were given to the horns. Then it says one of the heads was wounded to death. That means there's more than one head, and that can't be one person. So, we have a system here we call a government, set down somewhere on the planet, that 10 groups of people, 10 nations, 10 kings got along, headed up by 7 different heads of state. And they are this first beast. And I want you to know, back in the day, back around the year 1996 maybe, 2 Southern Baptist ministers who believed in once saved, always saved, they believed in and wrote a book called the Left Behind series. There were, I don't know what, 7, 8 books. And in book 5, a Chinese guy took the mark to live, to be prosperous, then repented, and God forgave him. Oh, how glorious. Because, you see, once saved, always saved, okay? Except Revelation 14, that's not what that says. It says, any man who takes the mark shall have his part in the lake that burns with fire. There is no if, ands, and buts about it. No sitting around the coffee table eating donuts and drinking coffee and discussing your salvation. You take the mark. Now notice what I said. I didn't say they forced it on you. I said you take the mark willingly, willfully. Take it. It comes in the mail. You call them up and say, yay, I want it. You took it. You have no chance of heaven. You are going to the lake of fire on judgment day. Bottom line, according to Revelation 14. Now, you go down into this first part of this chapter, and you'll find that the people worshiped the dragon. The dragon is Satan. Now, again, let me interject. Satan is not one being. He's multiple beings put together. That's why the word Satan doesn't add up to what Enoch says. Because Enoch says the one who drove Eve and made her go against what God said, that fallen angel, that name is Gadriel. Satan is all of hell put together coming at you. Satan means adversary. We have a lot of adversaries. They're all called Satan. Not one individual, not one being, many. But the world worshiped hell. I want you to understand that. Not just some angel, but hell as itself. Now, I'm going to say something here. Some people may find offensive. That's okay. The last 4 years of the national or federal government of this nation was run and operated by hell. Think about everything we have seen and went through for 4 years. Why is everybody rejoicing about tomorrow? Hell is gone. That's why. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. Who did? This beast. To blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those that dwell in heaven. And it was given to him to make war with the saints. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Stop the presses. You mean at this point in time, there are saints on earth, and he's going to make war with the saints? Man, I am dumbfounded because I was to believe we're all going to be taken out of here before anything bad happens. And this says we're still here. He made war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb. That would be the Lamb's book of life as we know it, slain from the foundation of the world. You've got two sects of people here. And I don't care what creed, what color, what nationality. You only got two. Those who have their name in the book of life and those that who do not. And those that do not worship Satan, they worship hell. They do everything hell wants them to. You talk about orgies and churches and things of that nature. This is going to happen. It happened in Greece. It happened in Rome. It's going to happen again. Those who has their name written in the book of life, they're doing a different thing. They're waging war against he. Who's he? Satan. The ten-headed, the seven-headed, ten-toed nation. That's who they're waging war against. Now, that's not the only part of that chapter. Chapter 13, verse 11 says, and I beheld in another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke as a dragon. Two-faced, mild-mannered, but he's from hell. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he goes and he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Whoa. Think about that for a second. This second beast is a real individual, is a person. That he made fire come down from heaven in the sight of the entire world. We'll watch it on TV. Why fire? Why coming from heaven? if you know your Bible, you can go all the way back into the days of Joshua, where God found him hiding in a cave, wanting to know, what are you doing in the cave? Why are you hiding? He says, I want you to go to the prophets of Baal. When he goes there, he calls on God. And the prophets are threatening and destroying certain things. And God sends a fire from heaven and destroys not only all the altars of Baal, but all the prophets of Baal as well. This, what is going to happen in the future, is reverse that, and Satan gets his day. It's like, all right, God, you did it way back then, my turn today. And God will allow it. And then it says that he deceives all the people of the earth by those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. What beast? The national group of nations that have come together to form the first beast. This guy is getting his power and authority from the government of the world. We call that the one world government, and it's what the WHO, the H or WHO, World Health Organization, is trying to put together along with the United Nations. That's why tomorrow Trump is getting us out of that. He did it back in his first term. Biden put us right back under it. Why? Because he's from hell. He worships Satan. That's why. Trump is going to take us right back out of it. Thank God. He preserved this nation during the time of Biden so Trump can do it once again. Because if he didn't, there would be no way you or I would have a chance. He had power to give life into the... Well, wait a minute. Let me go back up here. It says that they, the people of the world, should make an image to the beast. What's an image? A medallion? You got logos for all these different corporations. That's an image. You got wreaths and plaques and the things. That's an image. But it says that they should make an image to the beast, the first beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. So now they're making an image for the world to worship. And he had power to give life into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Uh-oh. How do you give life to an image? We, in today's society, call it a clone. And he calls us all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark on their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, say he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now listen to me. We know by the next verse it's the number 666, for it's the number of a man, because man was created on the sixth day. But the mark is 1-6, the beast is the second six, and the name is the third six. The mark, the beast, and the name. You take all three. Now, as I said in chapter 14, which is the next chapter, any man who took that mark, worshipped that image, will have his part in the lake that burns with fire. Now, we go all the way back to the book of Isaiah. And if you can't tell already, what I'm doing is I'm putting together for you a couple of prophetic scriptures that tell who we are. Isaiah 18, verse 1. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Okay, where's Ethiopia? It's in Africa. The eastern side of Africa, it has the Nile River that runs through it. Looking from Israel, from Jerusalem, you have to look to the west. It's beyond Ethiopia. Now, back in their day, they may not know what was out that way. Okay. That sends ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes upon the waters, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trotted down, whose land the rivers have spoiled. Okay, so let's legitimately look at this. We have Egypt, but that's north of Ethiopia, so that don't count. Other nations in Africa, how many times through history do we read where every nation in the world sends ambassadors to that nation? Absolutely zero. Okay, how about England? How about maybe a few? All ye inhabitants of the world and dwellers of the earth, see ye when he lifts up an ensign on the mountains and when he bloweth a trumpet, hear ye. Well, that's narrowing it down. Who is a nation in the world that's beyond the rivers of Ethiopia that has raised a flag on Mount Everest, even the moon, so to say. And when our presidents spoke all the way up through Reagan, the entire world listened. Who are we talking about? Us. The United States of America. Verse 4. For so the Lord said unto me, who's me, Isaiah, I will take my rest and I will consider in my dwelling place like clear heat upon herbs and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. Wait a minute. Heat upon herbs kills them, and dew upon the harvest means you can't pick your crop, so it sits out in the field, and it just withers away and rots. We would call that judgment. For afore the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening on the flower, he shall both cut off the prigs with pruning hooks and take away the cut down and cut down the branches. They shall be left together for the fowls of the mountains and the beasts of the earth, and the fowls shall summer upon them, and the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. That's called judgment, people. We're seeing judgment take place right now. Isaiah 18:7. In that time shall a present, a gift, be brought into the Lord of hosts of a people scattered and healed, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down underfoot, whose lands the rivers have spoiled, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, the Mount Zion. Wait a minute, that's in Israel. All this going to happen in Israel? No. This is a different night, but I can show you, I can prove to you, without a shadow of a doubt, in King Hezekiah's time, had a daughter named Tia. Jeremiah the prophet was related to him. They saw Babylon coming over to destroy everything, including the king and the chair that the king sits on. So the king told Jeremiah to take Tia, his daughter, and Jeremiah got a scribe and a boatsman, and the four of them left Jerusalem with the crown, with the diadem, and with Jacob's pillar, a big rock with four iron rings in it that they carried around right behind the Ark of the Covenant when they went into battle. Jacob's pillar is the rock that Jacob laid his head on way back in the book of Genesis, and he saw the stairway going up to heaven. That is what that rock is. It's very sacred to the 12 tribes. And we know at that time that Jeremiah went to Alexandria, Egypt, where he stayed there for about a year, and he wrote some prophetic utterances there that are not in the Bible. I've got some of them. And Babylon came and destroyed Jerusalem completely, brick by brick, tore it all the way down to nothing, and took the people of Israel captive. But the 10 tribe nation of Judah fled to the north, and as we are told, got lost. Except Paul knew where they were because he wrote letters to them. We have those letters in the way of Hebrews and James. That's all right at the beginning of it. Paul, of Christ, writing to the 10 tribes. Well, 200 years after that, they come out of the Caucasus Mountains as the Anglo-Saxons and move westwardly through Europe. And finally, in about 300 to 400 A.D., they settled into what we call England. Now, Jeremiah with Teal went through the Straits of Gibraltar and wound up on an island called Ireland, where Tia, the king's daughter, married an Irish prince. And they had children. And the rock moved from Ireland to Scotland. And about 12 generations after that, it went from Scotland to Westminster Abbey. Meanwhile, wave after wave after wave of Anglo-Saxons are coming across Europe into England. And they formed a capital city. I believe it was 190 AD, something like that. And they didn't call it London. They called it New Troy. Wow. In order to have a new Troy, don't you have to have an old one? Well, that was just a myth for centuries until the early 1900s. A Russian and a German scientists uncovered the city of Troy in the Caucasus Mountains, proving the fact that the people of Israel, of the 10 tribes, left there as Anglo-Saxons. You know, it only takes 3 generations to have a dark-skinned person turn white, through babies as they're born in wherever they are on the planet. That's a medical proven fact. If you stay in an area where it's cold and you're black, if you marry a white person, have children, and it goes on like that, eventually the children become white. That happened with all these Anglo-Saxons. Because up in those mountains, it's cold. All you have to do to find them is look at Syria and go north of that, and you'll find it on a map. The Caucasus Mountains. And when the rock moved to Westminster Abbey, the Anglo-Saxons were hitting England. And like I read last Saturday or last Sunday, the merchants of Tarshish and all the young lions thereof, who are the young lions? Canadians, the United States, Australia, Southern Africa, basically NATO. Shall say, are you coming to take a spoil and take prey? That would be us. And I can show you maps of the 13 colonies and how those same 13 colonies of the Hebrew bloodline settled in the colonists the same way they were settled in Israel. Who was all the way at the top, going all the way to the bottom, and Israel is the same way they settled in America. We, you and I, more than likely have Hebrew blood running through our bodies right now because our forefathers went to England, Ireland, or Scotland, which means that the tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Ephraim came from England, Ireland, and Scotland. Why do you think our forefathers, like George Washington, Patrick Henry, and Thomas Jefferson, took from Ephraim the arrows and took from Manasseh the olive branches and put them in the eagle's feet to where he is grabbing them on our great seal? Because they know who they were. Just like you and I, we need to know who we are. Now, there's a question that I get all asked often, not so much by people in the Republic, but other people. And that's this little thing called the rapture. So, here is my way of saying this. I used to be very careful about talking about this. I would teach this in churches, and the pastors would go, well, if you're going to do that, you need to teach all three types of rapture and let the people decide. No. Let's go by what the Bible says and forget what people think or what they like. How about that, Pastor? And all of a sudden, I wasn't allowed to go back into churches and teach because they knew when I came forward, I was going to teach what the Bible said, where their church doctrine went completely against it. And I wasn't going to teach a lie for anybody. I'd seen what happened to people in positions of in the church that taught a lie. I'd seen some die in car crashes. I'd seen two of them have fatal heart attacks, one of them as they stood upon the platform in the church teaching the lie. Called Harvest Time down in Virginia, Stuart Strack. I wasn't going to go down that road. You either hear what the word says or I ain't teaching you. Simple as that. Came back up to Indiana in 2001, married my high school sweetheart. We've been married ever since. God not only heals, but he restores. He restored us. Another part of the testimony that I have. Why did he do that? Because I didn't give an inch to some propagandist pastor who wanted me to teach his church doctrine and not what the Bible said. This is the problem in America today. The very people who are supposed to be teaching God's word are not. They're teaching a lie. And they're proud to do so. Let's not go by what Joe Blow down the road thinks or wrote a book about. Let's not take what Jeff Van Impe said or other writers of the day. I don't care what anybody said down at Dallas Theological Institute. Let's see what the word says. So we go to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus speaking. And he spoke many things to them by parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some fell on the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, and they had not much earth, and with forth they sprung up, because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And then I write, one out of four makes it. This is God's average of who makes heaven. One out of four. So I say you go to the mall next time, sit down on a bench, and just watch people go by you and count. One, two, three, made it. One, two, three, made it. One, two, three, made it. And keep going. That's your biblical average. So says Christ. Now, I think I would rather listen to what Christ said than what Jack Van Impe did or Al Lindsey. They teach a different doctrine. Now, you start at Matthew 13:36, and what you have is an interesting event. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. So let me lay that out for you. Multitudes were there listening to Christ, and he got done, and he sent them away. They're on their way home. Now he goes in, actually, to Matthew's house, the tax collector, and the disciples run up to him, and go, hey, you told us that story about the sower. We don't understand. Explain that to us. And he said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And as therefore the tares are gathered and burnt in a fire. So shall it be at the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them who do iniquity. Wait a minute. And they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear. Let him hear. And I wrote, the first to go are the tares, the wicked ones, the ones that sat by you in church every Sunday, because they will be taken out of his kingdom. Understand, we all have gone to a church at one time or another in our lives where there are people that are masquerading. They are saying we are believers, we are Christians, but Monday through Saturday they just do whatever sin they can do. That is the ones that are called tares. They go first. The angels come and get them. And they're moved out of the kingdom. This is not people out here who are committing murder, stealing from stores and all that. That's dealt with in a different way. This is from his kingdom. His church. His Tuesday night weekly Bible study at somebody's house. They grew up together. They sit next to each other. And one out of four don't make it. I want you to know that. Now, Zechariah 13:8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, says the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And when I bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they will call upon my name, and I will hear them. And I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Zechariah 13:8. What I'm saying here is, that's called a remnant. Now, after everything that I've just said, here's what I want you to do on your paper. I want you to take a line and go from the left side of your page to the right side. And I want you to cut it in seven sections, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, as equally apart as you can. These represent years. Well, where do I get that from? Daniel chapter 9. 69 weeks go by, there's one left, the 70th week of Daniel. And then it says, and in the midst of that week, he shall break the covenant that he signed. Some say that's Christ. Christ doesn't break covenants. So who is it? It's the second beast, what we call of Revelation. Because you see, that beast is the false prophet. Now, let me say this. In today's world, starting back in 2015, Joel Osteen and another pastor went to the Pope and signed documentation that every 501c3 church in America now would fall underneath the Pope as the universal church. That's what Catholic is, universal. Then in 2017, the Pope, I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to try. He was the head of the Muslims, and he made a covenant with the Muslims. And in 2018, the Muslims came to the Vatican, and they signed a compact, and they said they would call it Chrislam. And in 2022, in Dubai, the buildings were built and opened up. The Hebrew, the Catholic, and the Muslim. No Christian, because we fall under the Catholics if you are involved in a 501c3 church. That is called Chrislam. Look it up. Chrislam. L-A-M. That is what the Pope declares to be the one world religion. That is where the false prophet will come from. Now, if in fact the first beast is this governmental system, and the false prophet comes from him, then the little horn spoke of in the book of Daniel must be the false prophet. And where does he come from? Again, read Daniel chapter 11, the whole chapter. There are six wars that take place. It will tell you where he will come from. So you got your line drawn on paper, divided equally into seven parts. A Hebrew calendar, a year, your number one, equals out to be 354 total days. So in year one and year two, you write 354 days. Year three is a year where they add a extra month called Adar 2, and it becomes 383. Then years four and five, we're back to 354. Then year six, we're back to 383. And then year seven, it's 354. And when you add all that together, you come up with 2,536 days. Now, you're going to divide that into two, which is 1,268 days. And what you do is you start over on the right, going towards the left, mark off 1,268 days, which is exactly in the middle, otherwise known as 42 months, as spoke of in the book of Revelation. So the first from the left going to the center I believe, is where we are at right now. When you get to the center of that fourth year, this is where everything is going to start happening. You take the 1290 spoke of in Daniel chapter 12. Once that event takes place, there's 1290 days left. Go all the way to the right. Count 1290 days back. Put you in the fourth year. And it will give you an actual date on your paper. It's in the month of Adar 1, day 8 of the fourth year. That would be when this man stands upon the temple and proclaims himself to be God. We call it the abomination of desolation. Then you go to the two witnesses, which it is said that they have 1,260 days plus 3.5 days, so they got 1,263.5. Go all the way to the right. Go back towards the left, and you're coming up short of where the first one was by less than a month. That brings you to Nisan 5 of year 4. 144,000, which are from the 12 tribes. The mark of the beast, the image of the beast, seals 1 through 6, along with the seventh seal, trumpets are 1 through 6, bowls are 1 through 6. All in that 42-month period. That last particular day, day 2536, or 1268 for the half of it, you will see the seventh trumpet and the seventh vial or bowl, because that is known as the day of the Lord, or in Hebrew, the day of Yahweh. It's the day he returns to the Mount of Olives and Armageddon takes place. Where do I get all this info from? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, all the prophets, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Daniel, Ezekiel, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Romans, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Hebrew, Jude, and Revelation. All talk about the return of the Messiah. This is the doctrine that teaches all that had happened back in the days of Rome, and it was 2,000 years ago up through 1,700 years ago. What doctrine? Oh, it's already happened. No. Because we haven't had a 1,000-year millennial reign. We haven't had a great white throne judgment. Because you and I are here today. That hadn't happened yet. Remember, you and I, we were sent here to this republic because we as one are here to fight against the reign of the beast. That is who we are. And we're to bring the masses to heaven. We are the people God has chosen to be the remnant of this country. He calls it his government. We call it his government. It's called the Republic. Why? Because it's the people who rule themselves. Self-governing. Why? Because that's how it was presented to Moses out in the wilderness when he implied the 12 judges to the 12 tribes, and those 12 judges then went into their tribe and gathered others to help that particular judge out. And it took a massive amount of load off Moses, not having to speak to everybody at one time. This is who we are. This is why now. Because in just a few short years, and I believe wholeheartedly, Trump is leading this nation into that period of time. Our government, the Republic, is going to take over either before he is done or right after he is done to move this country toward being that present spoke of in Isaiah 18 that's given to the Lord, which is the government that he established originally. And he will use our government to run this entire world for 1,000 years. That's who we are. So you may think, well, I'm just one guy. I don't really amount to much. Oh, no. You amount a great deal. Not just to us, but to God. No matter who you are or where you came from, God has spent on some of us a lifetime preparing us for this. The things that we have been through in our own personal lives, the things that he has saved us from, the things he's brought us through. Some of us, our lives have actually been saved by him. We've actually been resurrected by him after dying. All because he wanted us to be where we're at right now in order to fulfill the destiny that he had put down in heaven for us. This is who we are. Take pride in it. Take heed that we can be replaced. God didn't want to. He prepared us. We don't have time to go on and play games with this. It's now or never. This is our one shot. The world is depending upon us, not just our own nation, but there are people scattered around the world who are waiting on us to finish the job that we began. And now we are here. And with that, Mark, I'm going to end and open it up for questions.
All righty, sir. Shall we just keep everybody muted and let them unmute themselves as we did before? Seemed to work out.
I think that would be a good idea.
All right, everybody, press *6 if you want to ask a question or unmute your phone. Thank you.
Justice Waters.
Yes, sir.
Hi, John Herman from Texas.
How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. Hey, brother, thank you. Thank you for the word that you brought tonight. And the thing that comes to mind is for such a time as this. And there's no such thing as coincidence. I believe we've all been brought individually to assemble here together. Even this evening was orchestrated by God. We're here for a reason. And we are instruments in his hands to be used for his purposes and to his glory. I completely agree with you that, you know, this is what he has brought us to achieve in his name and for the purposes of, you know, not only honoring and glorifying him, but to lead those that would follow unto him and to display righteousness to the rest of the world. May we be a lamp on a hill and a light to the darkness. I just want to thank you for that.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I give glory to God because he's the one that gave it to me.
Absolutely. 100%, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Anybody else? Well, Mark, they say silence is golden.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, Justice Waters.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. This is Ronald Reynolds from the Free State of West Virginia.
Yeah.
Kind of a theory, like the fires that are going on in California, that's a sign of God's judgment, correct?
I believe it is. Anything else?
I have a question.
Sure.
Trump is going to be swearing in as the 47th president. Does that mean he's swearing in to the corporation?
Yes.
That's a thought.
Yeah, he is. That does not mean, however, the corporation can fall and he becomes president of the republic. I don't know if that would happen, but it doesn't mean it wouldn't.
Okay, yeah, I'm just watching and trying to figure out what I'm seeing here. And I'm thinking, you know, he's working on some executive orders, and you can't do that in the republic. That maybe he's trying to clean some house and eliminate some work for the republic, perhaps. I don't know.
We heard 200 at 12:05 tomorrow.
That's what I heard. Yeah, it'll definitely. I think it's helpful to the republic to get rid of a lot of these, you know, different offices that shouldn't have been there in the first place. That would certainly make the transition to the republic easier.
More power to him. Let him take care of what we don't want to.
Right.
Because he will.
Yep.
But yeah. I believe that as well, and I believe that we're in for some good times as a country, but still that corporation is evil, no matter how many
right.
people you... So, yeah. Anybody else? Okay. Well, Mark, let's go ahead and close her down, if you would.
All right, sir. End the recording right now.